This is Mountain News and World Report, WMMT's weekly sojourn into life in Central Appalachia. We now invite you to join us for a visit with folks you may or may not know, items of interest to us all, and shining moments in our living history.
Hello and welcome to Mountain News and World Report. I'm your host, Michella Phipps. On this episode, we're exploring issues in education. First, we'll hear from Letcher County teachers who rallied in support of public education and in opposition to Governor Bevin's proposed pension reforms on Monday, March 19th. We'll end today's program with a piece about students organizing against gun violence in the wake of the Parkland school shooting in Florida last month.
On Monday, March 19th, teachers lined the sides of the Route 15 bypass through Whitesburg, Kentucky, dressed in red and waving signs. They showed up after Governor Bevin proposed pension reforms that would drastically cut benefits for retired educators in Kentucky.
My name's Melissa Corder. I teach at West Whitesburg Preschool here in Letcher County, and I came out to support all their teachers who deserve a pension.
And so what do people need to know about the pension issue, about what led y'all to be out here?
We're all here trying to make sure that we can pave the way for our new teachers to have a pension, just like our old teachers. My dad taught for 33 years and retired, and we want to save all that retirement for our older people who have retired and gone on, and we want to make some new teachers come in. We're afraid we're going to have Bevin run off all of our new teachers because nobody's going to go into education if we're not going to have a pension.
And what would be the best possible outcome of this whole action? What are you all hoping for?
We're hoping that our bill is voted down and that we can keep our pensions and that we can keep running the way we've been running.
My name's Sheila Holbrook. I was a classified employee for 20 years. I finished at Fleming Neon Middle School. That's where I retired from.
Okay. And so what is it that led everybody to get out here in the first place?
The injustice of it all. You work and you work and you pay in and you pay in with this promise, and now they're taking the promise away.
And you said you're out here not just for yourself, but for younger teachers who want to retire. Can you say more about that?
I'm here but not just for me, but for the younger teachers. And if this continues, we won't have the new younger teachers even want to go into this profession. Teachers are horribly underpaid. Classified employees are horribly underpaid, but only because we had this promise. I could have made a whole lot more money working in the private sector than what I did at retirement. But the promise was that I would be taken care of later on. And if young teachers don't have that promise, they're not going to apply. They're not even going to attempt to teach. And you can't blame them.
What do you think the best outcome of all this would be?
Ask us to the bargaining table. We want to be part of the solution. We didn't cause it. It's not our fault. We've done our part. But at least talk to us. That's it.
My name is Tyler Watts, and I'm a teacher at Letcher Elementary School. I teach first grade there, and I've been there for about 7 years. And I'm out here to show my support for public education and my coworkers and my students.
And so what do people need to understand about what's happened that's led teachers and workers to be out here today?
Well, I just want people to know that we're not asking for anything extra. You know, all the stuff that you're seeing on, you know, the news and Facebook, it's not that we're asking for more. Or anything extra, to that matter. We're just asking for things to stay how they are. You know, don't take anything away from us because, you know, we haven't done anything to deserve that. And we feel that, we're in the right for standing up for what we believe in. And, and doing this. You know, we're doing it for the students overall. You know, we want to help public education. We want to, help not just ourselves, but to the teachers who want to come into education. You know, we want good quality teachers that want to come into this profession. And if changes happen that are being, pushed upon us right now, then the quality of teachers entering the profession it's not going to be, the numbers are going to drop. I'll put it that way.
Could you say a little more about how this is for students? You just sort of mentioned that about the teachers, but how's that relate to students?
Well, you know, you got to think about, I've heard several, you know, I'm friends with a lot of college kids who are going into the profession, and I try to help them as much as I can. And when you look at it from that aspect, you know, I've talked to a whole lot of people who's changing majors right now, and they're going to be fantastic teachers if they stick with what they're doing. But, you know, I'm watching them switch majors left and right. And to me, the view from what I get from that is I know the quality of teachers that these kids can grow up and turn into, and to lose them to other professions based on the scare that things might drastically change with our benefits, it really hurts. It hurts the profession. And I think us doing this, it really affects the future of education. You know, this is a big session that's going on right now in Frankfort, and we just want the best for ourselves and for the students. Yeah.
Okay. I'm Manus Blair, and I am a 31-year teacher here in Letcher County.
Great. What do you teach?
I'm the head director of alternative education here in the city of Whitesburg.
All right. And what do people need to know about what led y'all to be out here today?
Well, you know, basically what we have is a misunderstanding between what is law and what is not law. You know, basically, we have worked, and I have worked for 31 years because of our retirement benefits. Governor Bevin has mentioned that they're lavish benefits, but it's benefits that we have earned and we have paid for with payroll deductions and those kinds of things. And we're out here just to bring notice to people who may not know, not just the teachers' pensions, but the other seven pensions that are involved as well.
My name is Regina Brown. I'm the Letcher County Teachers Organization President and a KEA board member. And today we're out here just to let our community know what a crisis we're in the state of Kentucky right now with the proposal of the change to our pension system and the lack of funding in our budget for all of state programs, not just education, but for all the programs across the state.
And so for people who aren't up on all the news, what do people need to know about the changes that are being proposed and why that's so such a crisis, like you said?
A couple of things that are being proposed. First off, in the budget bill that was introduced, House Bill 200, the governor's plan cut 72 programs throughout the state of Kentucky, such as funding for our Friskies, which in this area where we're so economically deprived, those are very needy for our schools and our children. In addition to the 72 programs, one major issue for all teachers that are retired or soon to retire is that there's no funding in the next 2 years for our health insurance for retirees. And when the House received that budget, they amended it to fund the first year for single plan only, and then the second year was left up to the teacher's retirement system to fund, which, according to our governor, we're 56% unfunded or funded. We're not 100%. And so if we take further monies out of it, I don't know how we could be solvent or stand firm. But it's a shame. I mean, I've had teachers that are in their 90s come to me torn up and in tears wanting to know how they're going to pay their health insurance. And it's really not in effect in 65 and older, but it's those that are under 65 that have retired. And a lot of people don't realize teachers do not pay into Social Security. The governor has a pension bill that he wanted passed. It was dropped in the form of Senate Bill 1. And in that bill, it would move all new hires into a 401k type system with no attempt or way to draw Social Security or pay into Social Security. So this would be their only retirement. And a lot of people don't realize a defined contribution like a 401 was only ever meant to be a supplement to another retirement. So in essence, if that's the only retirement that you have, it would deplete and you would draw all of it out in your elder years when you're unable to work and have no Social Security to fall back on. And so that's one major issue with this. And then the other one is we were made a promise when we were hired. We signed a contract on the dotted line, and it said when you retire, you will have a defined benefit pension system, and we're going to provide these for you. You're going to be able to cash your sick leave in. And the governor considers that hoarding But a lot of us don't like missing and being out of our classroom. It's important for us. Just last week, I came to Letcher Elementary School in the morning at about 6:30, and a teacher was there who had taken one of her sick days, preparing her lessons for her sub that day, and her mother was on her way to the hospital. Teachers are dedicated, and they don't miss unless they absolutely have to miss. Like all professions, like all regular jobs, we have people that don't do the same as others. But all we ask is that you give us what we need to work with your kids, and that's all it's about. We have not had funding for education since CARA. And CARA passed back in 1989 and 1990, and there was a big influx of money that made Kentucky more level with the rest of the states in the nation. And then over time, there's been an unfair equity in the counties in the eastern regions and the western regions that are in these coal counties. We're actually only about $50 above what we started out with in 1989 and 90 per pupil in our county. And that's ridiculous. Our county needs to build schools, and we can't. One way that we do that is to raise taxes. This community's broke. We can't afford to raise taxes on our community. But our governor and our legislators can do what's right, and they can do true tax reform that taxes the things that doesn't affect any of us and generates new revenue. Every racehorse that's sold in Kentucky, billion-dollar industry, not one dime of sales tax is given back to this state for that. Not one dime. Luxury taxes. How many of y'all are chauffeured around? There's no taxes on chauffeuring for limousines. I bet we didn't ride a limousine to work this morning, and I don't think anybody in our county did. That's a tax that does not exist, that could be fair and not burden the back of those that are already working. And that's all we're asking.
On Tuesday, the Kentucky Senate passed a budget bill that would slash funding to the teachers' retirement system and move it to pension plans for state employees and police. However, it remains to be seen what form of the bill becomes law. For WMMT, I'm Rachel Geringer.
Next, in the wake of mass shootings, national debates wage around pros and cons of gun control. But since the February 14, 2018 mass shooting at a high school in Parkland, Florida, youth across the country are taking matters into their own hands to demand solutions. Apple Shop's Willa Johnson brings us the following story about regional youth efforts to curb gun violence.
On February 14th this year, the students and faculty at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, faced a horror that schools all across the nation fear more and more every day, a mass shooting. When the alleged gunman, 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz, entered the building after 2 p.m. that day, he violently gunned down 17 students and teachers before he was taken into custody. As time passed and details came out, it seemed that people had reported Cruz to authorities before, fearing this could happen. School shootings have become more common, it seems, in the last 2 decades. Each time a school mourns the loss of life, a debate rages nationally about what can be done to prevent future acts of violence. Students all across the nation joined in, adding their voices and experiences to the cause. Zoe Brookshire Reasley is a 17-year-old high school senior in Knoxville, Tennessee. Zoe is a survivor of a shooting that took place in 2008 at the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church. She was just 7 years old. After years of dealing with the aftermath, she is now using her experience and voice to support the efforts of students across the nation to speak out against gun violence.
While I was writing down what I planned on saying today, I kept thinking about tone. We studied tone a lot this year in my senior English class. Authors use appropriate tone to effectively communicate their message to their audience. So what's the proper tone for an event like this? Should I be somber, reflective, hopeful? Perhaps, but these are not my primary emotions. First of all, I am angry. I am infuriated. Following the shooting in this church in 2008, I didn't fully understand what had happened or the larger conversation surrounding it. I was 7 years old. I only understood how scared I felt. I am now 17 years old. At this age, my main concerns should be what I'm wearing to prom or what college I'm going to go to next year. But that is not the case. Every day I'm concerned with double-checking my exit strategy every time I walk into a classroom. Is this window blocked today? Can I run in these shoes? Is my English textbook or my science textbook better for stopping a bullet? Being on the edge of adulthood comes with a lot of responsibility, but that responsibility should not include contemplating whether or not it's safe to go down the hall to the bathroom. This constant fear and paranoia is absurd. I should feel safe at my school, at my church, at the movies, at a restaurant, but I don't.
That was Zoe recently speaking at a vigil for the Parkland victims, in the same church she survived the attack in 2008. I spoke with Zoe by phone about the work she has been doing to organize students in her community.
I have my own personal experience with gun violence. When I was 7 years old, my church was shot up. A man walked in with a shotgun, and he killed people, and he caused a lot of damage physically and emotionally. And it's something that's really hard to deal with, having to deal with PTSD from the time I was a child until now. It changes the way that you look at things and the way that you experience life. And I'm really fortunate to have a really loving and supportive community and a really loving and supporting family that has been able to kind of help me through this really long process of healing, but not everyone has that. I spoke at a vigil at the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church. It was hosted by Moms Demand Action. At the event, we also had tables where people could write their representatives or register to vote or get involved with more things that Moms Demand Action does, like going to the state capitol and lobbying or hosting other events like the one coming up in March. I guess this is March. But the event coming up, March for Our Lives, which we've started organizing one specific to Knoxville. That's on March 24th. And there are marches happening all over the country. But yeah, and the one that's being organized here is organized mostly by students. So high school students, UT, college students, because this is an issue that affects us most directly. It's been a really big effort to try and amplify youth voices and student voices. I think it's something that, you know, me and my peers around me are kind of having to do, because the adults in the situation, you know, the lawmakers and all that, they're not taking this as seriously as they really need to be. Because, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whenever they were in high school, this wasn't as big of an issue as it is now. Like, they weren't seeing every week a new headline. And so I think as a generation, we've kind of had to say, okay, we can't do this anymore. We have to step up and use our voices. And, you know, being really educated and being fluent in this policy discussion is really crucial, because if you don't know what you're talking about 100% of the time, if your logic isn't airtight, then people that oppose you can take you down in an instant. And, you know, being 17, being a high schooler, being a college student, you're kind of automatically discounted and discredited. And so you kind of have to, you know, age up, and you have to argue as if you're a career politician who adults would listen to.
Just 2 weeks after the Parkland shooting, Central Michigan University went on lockdown when an active gunman was reported on campus. For hours, students all across the campus stayed locked in their rooms, waiting to hear details about the situation and messaging their loved ones that they were safe. Holly Lawson, a 24-year-old student on campus, shares with us what that experience was like.
It was Friday, March 2nd, I believe. I personally had an 8 a.m. class, so I woke up bright and early to go to that. And it's actually a broadcasted class, so we're given the opportunity to go out across campus and shoot. So we actually weren't in our classroom at the time, but a student peer of mine, we were out filming our project, and all of a sudden, all of these shuttle buses that we have access to on campus opened their doors and were honking and screaming at us to get inside. And we were kind of scared because we didn't really know what they were talking about. And then another teacher from a nearby building opened the door and kind of waved and ushered us in the building and said there were shots fired in Cary Hall. They pretty much didn't really know what was going on at the time, but better safe than sorry, they put the entire campus on lockdown. After seeing our school on CNN all day, we had come to find out that it was a young man, and he had shot and killed both of his parents. We didn't really know at the time was where the gun came from, whether or not he was still armed. So like I said, like the entire university was on lockdown along with the entire city of Mount Pleasant. In the wake of the Parkland shooting, we had no idea, and we were scared. I mean, immediately they were locking all the exterior doors, and all my thoughts were, this can't be happening. Like, this is not happening on our campus. You know, Mount Pleasant is a very small town in central Michigan, and pretty much the entire town thrives on the university here. So a lot of people here are students, and I think that we really came together at that point because we were unsure. We had even students that we saw walking, you know, on the sidewalks, ushered them in. And that was extremely scary. I know that we were saying, you know, this can't be happening to us, but I know with everything that had been going on, it wasn't a matter of if, it was just a matter of when. It is becoming so prominent in our society, and I think that's one of the things that we had kind of talked about as students in the aftermath of what had happened here at CMU, was that nobody knew what to do. And that's a really big problem, especially with it happening so frequently in our country. We need to be prepared for things like that. And I've been hearing things on, you know, the news and social media and things along those lines that we're now being called the mass shooting generation, which is really scary to me.
As students across the nation rally, stage walkouts, and protest, they're calling for lawmakers to stand with them. One East Kentucky lawmaker, Representative Chris Harris from the 93rd District, responded, changing his stance on gun laws and addressing his fellow legislators in the House chambers.
My name is Chris Harris. I'm a state representative from the 93rd District, which is most of Pike County and all of Martin County in eastern Kentucky. Well, leading up to the speech, you know, we had had several instances of mass shootings all around the country. We had the incident in Las Vegas at the church service in South Carolina, in the movie theaters, and several that had occurred in schools. And then we had the shooting in the Commonwealth of Kentucky in Marshall County, and that really affected me, started weighing on me, making me realize that we have a role in trying to solve this ever-escalating problem in the legislature, and that we're not doing anything about it. We're continuing week after week every time something like this happens. We're sending bowing our heads, and we're sending our thoughts and our prayers to the people that are affected, but we're not taking any action. We're not doing anything about it.
With an A rating from the NRA, Representative Harris called for common sense gun laws, saying he could no longer sit quietly, tragedy after tragedy. When he addressed his peers on that Ash Wednesday, he spoke about prayer without action.
So, ladies and gentlemen, our prayers for the victims of these tragic and senseless mass school shootings, whether it's at Marshall County High School, Heath High School, Columbine, Sandy Hook, or Parkland, Florida, our faith and prayers without actions are empty. Our faith and prayers without action are dead. Whether it is at a country music concert in Las Vegas, a church service in Sutherland, Texas, or a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, or even a nightclub in Orlando, Florida, our faith and prayers without action are empty. Without action, our faith and prayers are dead.
There are some people who, who firmly believe that under no circumstances should there be any restrictions on your ability to own any kind of weapon that you want to own. And the NRA has been very effective in spinning that issue to some people who take a hardline stance that we're not going to talk about even common sense gun reform. To those people, I'm not going to get those people on my side. I recognize that. But to the rest of us that are in the middle that believe, like me, that we ought to have the right to have firearms in our home, and I have guns. I have a shotgun and pistols. But there has to be a line somewhere. And that common sense line, in my opinion, is, we can talk about that. I mean, we can talk about bump stocks. What are the chances that we can, prevent the sale of further bump stocks? What about expanding our background checks, closing the gun show loophole where people with, that are mentally ill can buy any kind of weapon? What about raising the age of, purchasing a assault rifle, raising that age from 18 to 21, In our country, we can't, switchblades are illegal. You can't buy alcohol or even cold medicine, until you're 21. But you can buy, a military-style assault rifle on your 18th birthday. And that just, to me, that just doesn't make sense. It's something that we need to take a step back and say, listen, what can we do? What common sense changes can we make to try to reduce some of the deaths that we're seeing? You're never going to be able to legislate evil out of society, and we know that. But when we give them the tools to do much more damage with and make those tools easy and more available to get, and we have some responsibility at that point. A lot of the teachers that I have spoken with aren't real excited about other teachers carrying weapons in school. I mean, they don't think that should be something that is promoted. But there are other teachers that believe that's a great great idea. Even trained police officers who go to a police academy and are trained in active shooter situations, their bullets only hit an active target 17% of the time. And so if they're only hitting the target 17% of the time, then they're trained officers. How can we expect, people who aren't trained properly to be accurate in their use of a firearm inside of a school? And that's just a scary, scary thing to me. And I think we have to tread very, very lightly in that area. I have some responsibility, I feel, to the people that I represent to make sure that I'm doing what I can to make sure this doesn't happen to their children.
National policy shifts on gun control remain to be seen, but young people are leading the way for increased conversations. If you would like to attend an event locally, Progress Pike will be hosting a gun violence vigil on Saturday, March 24th from 7 to 8 p.m. in the Pikeville City Park. You can also follow the hashtag MarchForOurLives to see events across the nation. Thanks for listening. I'm Willa Johnson. That's it for this edition of Mountain News and World Report, focusing on issues in education. If you'd like to hear this or previous episodes again, you can find them on our website, www.wmmt.org, or visit SoundCloud to download Mountain News as a podcast. Music on this episode comes from the June Apple recording of Pat Brewer with a tune called Willow Garden. I've been your host, Michella Phipps, and from all of us at WMMT, thanks for listening to Real People Radio.
This has been Mountain News and World Report, a production of WMMT-FM, Mountain Community Public Radio, the non-commercial broadcast service of the world-famous Apple Shop in Whitesburg, Kentucky.